Welcome to the messages of Cornerstone Anglican Church.
You call me out upon the waters, my feet may fail.
We are delighted to introduce you to one of our new preachers at Cornerstone Anglican Church. This is Chantel Peters. In this insightful Good Friday message, Chantel looks at Peter's faith as he walked upon the water and how we are sustained through the tough times by looking to the cross.
Today, I want to talk about Jesus walking on the water. What has Jesus walking on the water got to do with Good Friday? I know at first glance there doesn't seem to be a connection, but there is one and we will come back to it later on. But first we'll start with the passage. It's covered in Matthew, Mark and John, but we're going to focus on the Matthew passage and I will pull in a couple extra details from Mark and John as we go along. Matthew 14 verses 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now Mark adds that Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them, and John also tells us that they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I was in a school chapel a couple of weeks ago, and the message was on this passage. Afterwards, when I went away and read the passage again, a few things struck me about the order of events that I hadn't noticed before. First of all, we put the passage into its context. At this point, Jesus' ministry was well and truly underway. These events take place the evening after the feeding of the 5,000. People were coming from all over to see Jesus, and Jesus was performing some very impressive miracles that were certainly getting him noticed. I think the disciples must have been feeling pretty good about following Jesus at this point in time. Then Jesus sends them out onto the lake ahead of him. I've started to think about that. Jesus sends them out onto the lake. The passage doesn't tell us, but I've started to wonder, what was the weather like when Jesus sent them out? Could some of the disciples, those who were fishermen and knew the Sea of Galilee well, tell at the outset that the wind was likely to turn against them? Maybe, maybe not, but either way, Jesus sends the disciples out onto the lake and they go without questioning him. Later that night, while still on the land, Jesus can see the disciples on the lake. He sees the wind is against them and he sees them straining at the oars. And what does Jesus do? Does he come to rescue them? No. He continues to pray. And this is the first thing that really struck me about this passage. Jesus does not rescue his followers from hard work. Jesus sent his disciples onto the lake. He sent them into a situation that was quite literally not plain sailing. And then he sees them working hard at the oars and he does not jump in to rescue them. He doesn't rescue them from hard work. And he doesn't rescue us from hard work. When things get hard, we often think, doesn't God see us? Doesn't he care? I know we often feel that things being hard is a sign that we are doing the wrong thing. But this is not a Christian viewpoint. Jesus sees the disciples. He sees them working at the oars and doesn't jump straight into rescuing them. And this is something I have to remind myself of over and over again. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's also worth noting that the disciples have grown at this point. Earlier in Matthew 6, we have the well-known story of when the disciples are at sea with Jesus and a storm rises up and the disciples panic and think they're about to die. Then Jesus calms the storm. I think it's interesting to note that the disciples are not panicking this time. Jesus has sent them onto the lake, and the wind and the waves are against them. They've been working hard for hours, and I'm sure they felt like they were getting nowhere. But they haven't given up, they haven't panicked, and they're still working. Just before dawn, Jesus comes to them over the water. They see Jesus coming and are afraid. It was still dark, and they don't know that it's him. Peter calls to Jesus, "If it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus tells him to come. This is the second thing that really struck me about this passage. Jesus doesn't calm the wind or the waves before telling Peter to come. We know that Jesus can calm the waves. The disciples know that Jesus can calm the waves because, like we discussed earlier, he'd done it before. But Jesus doesn't do that. And it got me thinking about how often I want him to calm the waves. Sure, yes, I'd like to walk on the water with Jesus, but I'd like it to be a nice, calm lake where we can all frolic with Jesus together. But this is not what Jesus does, and we shouldn't be waiting for calm waters before we step out of the boat. Now, we know what happens next. Peter climbs out of the boat and begins to come to Jesus, but Peter gets distracted by the wind and becomes afraid and begins to sink. He calls out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. I wonder what Peter felt in that moment. Relief, certainly, that he was being rescued from drowning. Joy and certainty that Jesus actually is divine. And I wonder if maybe he felt a little bit of regret that he'd panicked and regret that he'd doubted. I've been thinking about this in my own life, and it's a wonderful feeling when Jesus reaches out and rescues us, when God does something and we just know that these things could have only happened in this way because of the divine hand of God. There's a feeling of relief, of certainty that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he has a plan and it's going to be okay. But for me, there are sometimes some feelings of regret as well. Too often, leading up to this, I have been doubting that Jesus is going to save me and afraid that I've got it all wrong and that I'm about to sink into the waves. And Jesus reaches out his hand and rescues me. And I have these feelings of regret. Not regret that I needed rescuing, but regret that I doubted. Regret that I've been acting like I thought it all depended on me. And regret that I've been convinced that it would all come to an end. This is something that I've been working on in my own life. When I'm in circumstances where I don't know how this is all going to work out, and I'm tempted to start to panic or to try and plan out all the ways that I can fix the situation, I'm trying to stop and to remind myself of who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who walks on water. He's the one who reaches out to Peter when Peter calls to him. He is the one who can be trusted, and who will provide for me and will not abandon me. And I remember all the times that he has done it before, and I know that he will do it again. I know that he is working all things together for good, even though I don't know what that is going to look like, and I remind myself to trust. So, what does this have to do with Good Friday? First, it's believed these events took place around the time of the Passover. In fact, it would be just 1 year later, at the time of the Passover again, that Jesus would be arrested, tried, and crucified. I think about what an emotional roller coaster that year was for the disciples. This is the point in Jesus' ministry where Jesus is making it very clear that he is the Son of God. He's doing things that only the Messiah could do. And even today, the imagery of a man walking on water is used to indicate the divine. It's at this point that disciples begin to understand that Jesus is God. In the earlier passage, where Jesus calms the storm, they ask each other, "What sort of man is this?" But this time, when Jesus climbs back into the boat, they worship him, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." There's a lot that they don't know yet. They don't know about the cross. They don't realize he will have to die and to rise again to save us from our sins. But we do. Because we get to live on this side of the resurrection, we get to know that the Jesus who is nailed to the cross is the same Jesus who walked on the water. It is the same Jesus who rose again, making a way for us to have relationship with God. It is the same Jesus who reaches out his hand and rescues us when we call to him. We know that it is the same Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the one who can walk on water, that you are God. Thank you that you willingly gave your life for us so that we can know you and know the Father. Thank you that you are the one who reaches out your hand and rescues us when we call to you. Dear Jesus, please help us to trust you when things are hard, when everything seems to be hard work and we don't feel like we're getting anywhere. Lord, please increase our faith and trust in you. In your name, amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.